All right, good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
Good morning.
We had a blessed week in the Lord.
Amen.
We'll begin with prayer and the communion class. Dear Lord, I thank you for being in our midst. I thank you for blessing us this week, helping us to go forward. Lord, I thank you that you think of all things. Help us to go forward in you doing all that's in your heart. In Jesus' mighty name, amen.
Amen.
You know, communion is, I always say communion is the backbone of ministry. And when we commune with the Lord and talk to him, he has so much to say to us.
Amen.
When looking to God, we have the most success in the areas of life where we look to God and trust him.
Amen.
Wherever we look into him, and wherever we're trusting him, that's where we have our best success. And the Lord will build from that. Some people are strong in commitment. Some people, their strength is in love. They love others. And the Lord can, through their love, God can show them greater things. Some people, their strength is trust. They'll trust God. So through their trust, God can reveal greater things. And communing with him, we get his mindset. We get an understanding of the word, and we get and what's in his heart can get in our heart. All right, that's the strength of communing with the Lord. Revelations chapter 3, verse 7. We'll start with the Philadelphia church. He says, "And to the angel of the church in Philadelphia, write. These things saith he that is holy, he that is true, he that has the key of David, and he that opens, and no man shuts, and he that shutteth, and no man open. He said, I know thy works. Behold, I have set before thee an open door, and no man can shut it, for thou hast a little strength, and thou hast kept my word, and has not denied my name." All these are wonderful things that he said to this church. He said, "Behold, I will make them of the synagogue of Satan, which say they are Jews and are not, but do lie. Behold, I will make them to come and worship before thy feet, and to know that I have loved thee. Because thou hast kept the word of my patience, I also will keep thee from the hour of temptation, which shall come upon all the world to try them that dwell upon the earth." And I'm going to go back and come back to verse 11. He said in verse 8, "I know thy works, and behold, I have set before thee an open door, and no man can shut it, for thou hast a little strength, and hast kept my word, and hast not denied my name." When we're looking to the Lord, there are many things we won't do, because we have a greater understanding of the best way of doing things. We're looking at him. We're looking at God as going by his word, taking his word in and letting it get in our heart. We believe it, we receive it, we act on it. When we govern our lives by his word, that's looking to God. Jesus said, "If your eye be single, your whole body will be full of light." And there's a lot of reasons this works out for. It helps us to do what he does. We have a reference of what to do. We have a reference of victory, because the word of God enlightens us to the truth, and it also exposes the darkness for the lie that it is. So when Jesus said, "Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added," when we're looking at him, we're gathering the true information, and we can judge better because we're receiving his word. And things will be added. He give us possessions over time. We have to work for them. We work for what we desire. We work to build our lives, and this is good because our work is our only resource that comes from us. We're taking the raw materials that God made, and we work them we build things out of the elements, like steel and iron, and we take wood that God grew, and he grew the trees. We take it and cut it and make and build houses. Our works gives us a chance to contribute to society. And then there's only so much work we can do in a day. And over time, we will build our life. But when we're focused on the Lord, there are many mistakes we won't make. And there are many things that we wouldn't know to do, we'll do, because the Word of God will alert us to it. And spiritual wealth gets on our lives. So when we're working unto Him and doing things according to the Word of God, over time, we're going to have whatever it is we desire. You don't have to focus on things. You don't have to focus on problems. But when you look at the Lord and commune with Him, you understand what you get an understanding of what to do. When it comes to ministry, that's by Zechariah pointed out that it's not by might nor by power, but by His Spirit. The way it's supposed to work, the Holy Spirit ordains ministry. And we saw this in the beginning, when the world was in chaos in Genesis chapter 1. Darkness was on the face of the deep. The earth was void in darkness. There was no life. And it was all out of order. Water. It was standing in and out of water. The Holy Spirit came and put together a plan. And then everything the Lord was doing was by the plan of the Holy Spirit. Everything Jesus did was according to the plan of the Holy Spirit. So we're going to go forward in ministry. We have to commune with the Lord, and He'll give us a plan, and it will work. Now, the knowledge and wisdom of God is multiplied to us. As fast as we can receive, we can have. And the faster and the more we receive, the more we can retain and operate in.
Amen.
And we'll see the wisdom in it. We'll see the vision of it.
Yeah.
And it's greater than the ways of the world. It supersedes the world. Now, if I come up with my own ministry plan, it's not going to work. Not like God's. It can't compare. And I can't. There are things you'll only learn if you obey Him, if you follow through with what God said do. Whether it's the Scriptures and whether it's the guidance of the Holy Spirit in you. If you can cooperate with what Jesus said, if you can just do what He said do, it works. And so here we have a church. He said, I know thy works. Behold, I have set before thee an open door. In my experience, the Lord only sets open doors before people who are doing something. People who are operating in His word. He'll open a door for them because they're doing something. They're in faith. When people won't do anything, there's no reason to open the door until they start doing something. So they had began to obey everything, they were faithful. I can say that they were faithful or they were beginning to be faithful, because he said they had a little strength. Daniel said that they that do know their God will be strong.
Amen.
And do exploits. So they were learning of God because they had a little strength. And they kept His word, and they have not denied His name. They had enough strength to keep His word and not deny. Some people under a challenge, they do deny Him or they deviate, but they didn't. They were going forward. And it's easy to just obey the Lord. Whatever He say, let that be your mind. If whatever you want in life, sometimes the desires can be so big, people can let their desires be greater than God in their life. And they'll go after it. They're desperately trying to get whatever it is they're after. But the example that Jesus gave us when He was walking on the water, as long as Peter was looking at Him, He was walking on water. Men don't walk on water. I don't expect to ever walk on water. It'll be a miracle if I ever walk on water. But Peter walked on water. Because he said, if it be thy will, if it be thee, bid me to come. Now, he couldn't make out who Jesus was. Jesus was far enough away at that time of day that Peter couldn't recognize him. But he walked on water for a while, but he began to sink when he took his eyes off the Lord. So the message in that and the parable of it is when you look into the Lord, everything that you desire to do can be done as long as you continue to look unto the Lord. His wisdom will guide you straight to the point. Remember, the 11-day journey took 40 years because they didn't look to the Lord in the Exodus. So when we look to the Lord, we can just go ahead and make the 11-day journey instead of the 40-year journey. That's the power of looking to the Lord. We can do what we can't do ordinarily. And many wonderful things happen. Many things you're going to learn in life as you look to him. And you from looking to him, you're going to get to know him. From getting to know him, you're going to be strong, and you'll be doing exploits. You'll find yourself doing things that's just totally impossible, and believing things that you wouldn't normally believe because he's giving you revelation while you're looking at him. This is the power of governing your life according to the word of God. He said, and they were standing. They were also, just like all the other churches, the enemy was pushing back, and they were winning. He said in verse 9, "Behold, I will make them of the synagogue of Satan, which say they are Jews and are not, but do lie. Behold, I will make them to come and worship before thy feet, and to know that I have loved thee." Now these are the Pharisees, the synagogue of Satan. They didn't believe Jesus was Christ. Anybody that don't believe on Jesus is of Satan. That's just all the religions, all of them, that try to go to heaven around Christ are nothing but thieves and robbers. That's what Jesus, he said, if you try to go any other way but through me, you're just a thief and a robber. And that's about as bold as I can put it. And, you know, sometimes even ministers try to dance around that. But it's just, that's the way it is. It's not fair for people to believe a lie and then go to hell and they never heard the truth right. And when you say it this way, people can't forget it. It's just the word of God. He said, "I will make them to come and worship before thy feet, and to know that I have loved thee," because you're living a standard that's true. The things that God is telling you is a light to the world. It's an example, and it works. It always works. It never stops working as long as we're in faith. The word of God is working through us. He said, I stop at verse 10, "Because thou hast kept the word of my patience, I also will keep thee from the hour of temptation, which shall come upon all the world to try them that dwell on earth." Now this is another two-edged sword statement. "Because thou hast kept the word of my patience, I will also keep thee from the hour of temptation." Some people don't keep the word of his patience, and they may end up in the hour of temptation. They may fail. But as we go forward in the Lord, a lot of things that the enemy, a lot of traps that the enemy set, and the enemy do set traps, we'll spring them. We'll, you know, the Lord will alert us. He won't let things sneak up on us if we're paying attention to them. We all have heard so many wonderful men and women of God, after a tragedy happened, they'll say, "Something told me not to do this. Something told me not to do that." It was the Holy Spirit. But because their focus was on whatever it was on, they didn't regard what God said. When the Lord speaks, you have to, it's your responsibility to catch it and utilize it. That was the king that was, Ahab was king, and he had caught the king of Syria. And his men came to try to bargain and get him back. Ahab made a statement, and they caught it. He called the king of Syria his brother. Now, they were desperately trying to get their king back. And when he said, my brother, and then they jumped on it quickly. Immediately they caught that word to rescue, to rescue their king out of Ahab's hand. And it worked. Well, if wicked men can do that, how much more can we catch the words that God give? When the Lord is trying to warn us, his voice is loud, is louder to us when we're looking at him, when we're seeking him, when we're reaching forward. His voice will always be clearer. But when we're looking at our own plans, his voice is not as loud to us. And this is the power of communing with him. Before we take communion, any comments? Questions, comments?
That's good.
Okay.
These folks at the church, it says they have kept his word.
Mm-hmm.
And he was pleased with their works. He knew their works.
Yeah.
And he said, I know that you have a little power. You have little power.
Mm-hmm.
You don't have a lot of power. But you have a little power. And that word power is the same one that's used for a mighty work, yeah. You know, for a miracle.
Mm-hmm.
He says, you haven't done a whole lot of miracles or whatever, but your works are there. And the word for works there is for just whatever a person does.
Mm-hmm.
So it's kind of interesting to me but they kept his word.
Yeah.
Even though they had a little bit of power, not a whole lot, but a little bit,
mm-hmm.
Their works were not before God.
Yeah.
So they were doing what a man can do,
yeah.
You know. A normal man, uh-huh. Give a cup of cold water, visit the sick, and all this sort of thing, welcome strangers into your home, all the things that Jesus said. But they didn't have a whole lot of miracles.
Mm-hmm.
They had but little power.
Yeah.
So, but Jesus was still pleased with their patience and their endurance.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. God loves you, and when you're doing what you know is right, God loves it. It may not look much to others, but it touches his heart. When you do what you know to do for the right reasons, that touches his heart.
Yeah.
All of it.
Yeah.
Thurston, I've got a question. I know you know a lot about the Old Testament. I've heard Joyce Meyer say that about the 11-day journey. Is that from Egypt to the Promised Land?
Yep.
Well, God never intended them to go 11 days. There's no way they'd been ready. And also the tabernacle had to be built.
Yeah.
So... It took them way too long, the 40 years after they were accused. I don't think, think God intended them to do it?
No, he said it in his word. Read the word. He said, one reason is what they weren't ready to face the enemy. They weren't fighting people.
And the iniquity of the Amorites hadn't been fulfilled yet. They wanted to destroy the people.
So not only that, they were not army ready,
right,
to face the people. If he had seen those people when they first left out of Egypt and made it into the Promised Land, if he had seen them, they would have gone back.
Yeah.
They would have turned back and ran because they weren't fighting people.
Mm-hmm.
What happened when Moses sent them up to spy out the land?
Mm-hmm.
They said there's giants in the land. We can't take that land.
Yeah.
What would have happened?
Was it they
they had made that journey early and saw those. I mean,
the 40 years was not.
He said
that's
it in
because
his word.
Of them refusing it, but it was supposed to be longer than 11 days.
He said in his word,
he had work to do with them.
The reason he took them through that way is because they wasn't ready for fighting.
Well, if they would have looked to the Lord, it wouldn't have mattered.
Well, see, they wasn't in that place to the Lord.
They
so
went.
He knew that.
That was the problem.
Don't you think the tabernacle was supposed to be built first?
Possibly. But
that didn't take 11 days.
No.
No.
All the stuff they had to get prepared for.
It didn't. And
but the journey took 11 days.
Other
things going on.
But it shouldn't have taken 40 years after that.
Well, it took 40 years because they murmured and groaned.
That was after they got there.
See, the
But it's 11-day journey.
They should have took it from the beginning of the 40 years. The year that they began to wait for 40 years, that's the year they should have done it.
Yeah, but they were already there.
Yeah, it's not about the land, how far away it was. It was the contrariness.
Yeah,
they never, they had enough, they saw enough miracles to go take that land, but they refused.
They saw enough miracles, but they didn't have the relationship with the miracle worker.
Right, because just because...
Moses, what did the Bible say? Moses knew what? But the children of Israel knew his acts.
Yeah, yeah, Moses knew the Lord.
Yeah.
And they didn't.
So that was a big difference. He knew his ways.
Yeah.
But the children only knew his act. They just saw miracle after miracle after miracle after miracle.
That's why you have to catch on. You have to choose. I'm going to look to the Lord no matter what happens. I'm going to watch him. When it's like that, you can do things that you're not trained for, that you're not naturally trained for. If you can spiritually train for it, he'll take you there.
And it's just so many things why they didn't.
Mm-hmm.
They came out with a mixed mother, too, and
God
wouldn't intend that, but they did.
Mm-hmm.
All of them wasn't Israelites that came out.
Right.
It was a mixed mother, too.
Yeah.
And they wanted to do their same practice.
Mm-hmm.
God brought them out for what? What purpose God said and bring you out of Egypt?
To represent him. He was going
to worship him.
Mm-hmm.
That's right, represent. But he said,
that's the key.
Yeah,
if you can worship God.
Amen.
Worship.
Yeah, but he knew that they couldn't worship him in Egypt.
Yeah.
Under another God. Uh-huh. He brought him out to himself for worship.
Yeah.
That's kind of an important point. We bring up this. I hadn't thought about this before, but we're talking about it. And it reminds me, you know, we talked about communion. Mm-hmm. In communion, we're warned not to take communion unworthily.
Yeah.
But be worthy when we take it. We need to understand what it means,
mm-hmm.
and we need to make sure that we're in a place spiritually and otherwise that we're understanding what it means, and we take it worthily.
Mm-hmm.
And if we don't, he says, some of you have gotten sick, and some of you die,
mm-hmm.
because you take it not understanding what it means.
Mm-hmm.
And those Israelites, they wanted to go into the land, not understanding that they were not worthy to go into the land. When they refused to go in the first time from the spies report,
mm-hmm.
that made them unworthy to go in.
Mm-hmm.
And so they wanted to go in anyway.
Afterwards.
After they found out how mad God was about it. Mm-hmm. Oh, well, we'll go in anyway. And so they went in, and of course a lot of them got killed.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's important in the same way that we take the communion, we make sure that we're worthy before God.
Mm.
We're right with him.
Yeah.
We're living the way we need to be living.
In a minute's time, mm-hmm. can't we?
You know, we've confessed our sins. We've forgiven people who've done that bad things against us. We're not holding the root of bitterness.
Right.
We're worthy when we take this cup and take this, you know, because this represents the body of Christ,
mm-hmm.
you know. It isn't the body of Christ, but it represents. I mean, he says, do it in remembrance of me.
Mm-hmm.
Remember what I've done for you.
Yeah.
So, yeah, this is a neat thing, the way y'all said that about the children of Israel in the mm-hmm. Old Testament, in that they weren't worthy to go in.
Mm-hmm.
And we need to be worthy when we take the cup.
Mm-hmm.
Because if we're not, some bad things can happen to us. Yeah,
that's not necessary.
What now?
And I said that's not necessary.
Yeah, right. I would rather just let it sit there, you know, and not touch it than to help some of that stuff.
Well, the bread and the cup represents his life.
Mm-hmm.
Because the blood and the body comes together, that brings life. See, on the cross it was separated.
Mm-hmm.
The blood was separated from the body. That was there. But when you take communion, you're taking his life.
Glory.
Yeah,
where the bread and the water comes together and the blood comes together. What he asks you to do is kind of examine yourself and he said, and take and eat.
Yeah.
Then he tell you, take and eat.
Mm-hmm.
Just examine yourself and take and eat.
Yeah.
He wants you to take and eat.
Mm-hmm.
Because he has made you worthy.
Yeah.
And he can make you worthy by taking it if you just say, Lord, forgive me, or just do the repenting that you need.
Yeah.
You
yeah.
can't make yourself worthy, but he can.
He can. Yeah.
He can make you worthy. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So take and eat.
Mm-hmm.
He said, take yeah. this and eat it. Because yeah. it would help you, huh?
Very serious what you're doing, so we focus on it.
Mm-hmm.
This is a supernatural meal. It's not like a natural meal that you eat.
That's right.
You only have two elements, but they're powerful. They life elements.
Amen.
Yeah. Yeah.
This is really when I teach communion again, I'm gonna teach y'all that this is a weapon. Use it as a weapon.
Yeah.
Use this as a this meal is a weapon meal. You can use it as a weapon if you need it. For something you're standing against or something, take it as a weapon.
Amen. That's good.
This is a weapon.
Yeah.
This is a supernatural meal.
Yeah.
And it will heal.
Mm-hmm. All right. Corinthians 11:24. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, take, eat. This is my body which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me. And after the same manner also, he took the cup when he had supped.
Help and Apostle, help him open
the cup. Hello.
They're a little tricky.
Yeah, you got it.
Okay.
Yeah.
If you got the bread. Okay.
Oh, that's what she had.
Yeah. Yeah. And after the same manner also, he took the cup when he had supped, saying, this cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do ye as oft as ye drink it, in remembrance of me. And we remember the victory that he's given us. And he loves us. As we look to him, just like the Israelites, if they would have looked to him, they saw enough miracles. If they would have kept looking at him, they could have took the land. Mm-hmm. But they didn't, so they couldn't. Our challenge is just as great as is greater than that. All about what we're doing in ministry, we have to be guided by the Holy Spirit. We can't originate what will really work and all the details that go with. Only the Holy Spirit can do it. All right. Brother Ray.
You know why Brother Ray coming? Their battle was with flesh. They could really see it. But our battles, we can't see.
Uh-uh.
It's in the mind. It's in spirit.
Yeah.